Okay, good evening. I wanted to do something a little bit different tonight in recognition of the fact that Tu Bishvat, the Rosh Hashanah Leilonos, the New Year for Trees, is coming up this Tuesday night and Wednesday. So wanted to take a break from the Havas Chesed for 1 week. We can still do Chesed. Chesed is not off the table. But just to talk a little bit about Tu Bishvat and to take away a lesson which I think is applicable on a daily basis as well. Of course, as we know, you know, Tu Bishvat, you know, from the Gemara is really primarily a special date on the calendar in terms of the laws of Maestros, of taking off tithes, that the tithes that would belong to a particular year, you had to make sure to take off, you know, from one year and not to mix the years together. Nonetheless, the minig exists, the custom exists for hundreds of years to eat fruits from Eretz Yisrael on Tu Bishvat to accentuate our connection to fruits and to Eretz Yisrael in general. And with that in mind, I wanted to talk a little bit about a few lines in the Bracha Achrona that follows fruits from Eretz Yisrael, which lends itself to quite a bit of comment in the Mefarshim. As we know, the halacha is that after eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael is distinguished in the Chumash by having seven different types of peros. Peros means, in this context, both fruits and grains, right? It refers to wheat and barley on the one hand. It also refers to grapes, to dates, to figs, to pomegranates, and to olives, right? The so-called shivas haminim, right? The seven different species that Eretz Yisrael was praised through. So after eating a sufficient amount of those five fruits that are mentioned, one makes a special bracha. As we know, the bracha Me'in Shalosh, the bracha which is a composite of the brachas of Birkas HaMazon and the Art Scroll Hebrew-English Siddur, it's page 200. Etc. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael and for the beautiful peros, the beautiful fruits which are associated with Eretz Yisrael. There's one line in particular in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh which raises quite a bit of discussion among the Mefarshim. Basically, we praise God for the tree and the fruit of the tree, the produce of the field, I'm just reading in the English, the desirable, good, and spacious land that you were pleased to give to our forefathers as a heritage, to eat of its fruit and to be satisfied from its goodness. Right, so then we continue, have mercy, Hashem, our God, on Israel, your people, on Jerusalem, your city, on Zion, on Zion, the resting place of your glory, upon your altar, and upon your temple. Rebuild Yerushalayim, the city of holiness, speedily in our days. Bring us up to it. Gladden us in its rebuilding. Let us eat from its fruit. Be satisfied with its goodness and bless you upon it in holiness and purity. We'll go to Yerushalayim. We'll go to Eretz Yisrael. Nochal mipirio. We'll eat from the fruit. Nispa mituva. We'll be satiated from its goodness. Unvarechecha ala b'kedusha v'tahara. And we will praise you. We will bless you upon it in a state of holiness and purity. The Tur in Simen Reish Ches, when discussing the laws of how to say the after bracha about, you know, upon eating fruits, writes as follows. He quotes this from Rabbeinu Yonah, just a little bit of biographical information for a moment. The Tur, Rabbi Yaakov Bal Haturim, was the son of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, one of the great German, and then later one of the Spanish Rishonim. He emigrated from Germany to Spain. And his son, the Tur, Rabbi Yaakov Bal Haturim, was responsible not only for the famous commentary on Chumash, the Bal Haturim, but also for a work which ultimately, you know, the commentators on this work ultimately became the Shulchan Aruch, you know, one of the earlier codifications of Jewish law. So the Tur quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the other Rishonim, who writes that Yesh Omer v'nochal mipirio v'n mispa mintuva. There are some who say, as in our text, let us go up to Yerushalayim, eat from the fruit, and be satiated by its goodness. Ve'ein la omro, but it's wrong to say such a thing. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah takes those four words, the nochal mipirio, the nispa mituva, let us eat from its fruit, let us be satiated by its goodness. Those four words which appear in our text of the bracha, Rabbeinu Yona says, no, strike those from the record. You shouldn't say those four words. Why? Because that would imply, says Rabbeinu Yona, that our desire to go up to Eretz Yisrael is for material gain. We really like fruit. We can't get enough of those Israeli olives and pomegranates and whatnot. So we yearn to go to Eretz Yisrael to have a fruit fest. And says Rabbeinu Yona, that's wrong. She'ein lachmod ha'aretz bishvil piryo v'tuva. It's not correct to desire Eretz Yisrael for its fruit and for its physical goodness. El l'kayim ha'mitzros ha'tluyos ba. But rather, our desire to inherit Eretz Yisrael is purely and solely to perform the mitzvahs that are associated with Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, strike these four words from the bracha. The source for this comment of Rabbeinu Yona seems to be a passage in the Gemara at the end of Maseches Sota, at the end of the first parak of Maseches Sota. And there the Gemara discusses the following issue. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu so desire to go into Eretz Yisrael? Right, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, throughout the latter part of the Chumash, is begging, is pleading to go into Eretz Yisrael, and God doesn't grant his wish. Ask the Gemara, why was he so anxious to go in? And says the Gemara rhetorically, V'chi lechol mipir Yehud Tzarech? Did Moshe Rabbeinu have a hankering for an Israeli olive? That's why he wanted to go in, asked the Gemara rhetorically? No, that doesn't make any sense. Clearly, his only desire was to fulfill the mitzvos associated with Eretz Yisrael, so he could have asked God to just give him the reward for those mitzvos without actually doing them. Right? So, from that discussion that the Gemara has, where the Gemara poses the question, is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was just interested in going into Eretz Yisrael to eat from the fruit, to benefit in that kind of physical way from Eretz Yisrael? Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu would have only desired to go into Eretz Yisrael in order to receive the spiritual benefit that comes from going into Eretz Yisrael. So granted, we're not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but nonetheless, in the bracha, we're expressing what our ideal should be. Right? And if the bracha is saying, let us go into Eretz Yisrael in order to eat from its fruit, in order to satiate ourselves from its goodness, it would seem that we're desiring to do exactly that thing which the Gemara says is inconceivable that Moshe Rabbeinu would have wanted to have done. Right? So in other words, that's Rabbeinu Yona writes, strike these four words from the record. We do not want to express in the bracha on any level that our desire to go to Eretz Yisrael is associated with a desire to eat fruit and enjoy the physical bounty which is part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. We, of course,
can't you go for both things, both to enjoy the fruit?
So Rabbeinu Yona is saying no.
Yes,
so Rabbeinu Yona is saying no. Right? In other words, if you want Eretz Yisrael, it has to be for spiritual reasons. To codify in the form of the bracha that, gee, we're really interested in going there and getting the fruit, is to belittle, in a certain sense, the kedusha and the specialness of Eretz Yisrael. Now, we obviously do say these four words, right? So obviously we do not accept the position of Rabbeinu Yona, who says that these four words should be omitted. What then is the explanation that we adopt, practically speaking, in reciting these words, that effectively saying every time we say the bracha after fruit, that we yearn to go to Eretz Yisrael in order to eat from the fruit associated with Eretz Yisrael. So what I want to share tonight are a bunch of different answers that are given by Mefarshim to this question, and each one brings out a special quality of Eretz Yisrael that's connected to the fruit. So when we do have the custom of eating fruit this Tu B'Shvat, we can eat the fruit and say the bracha in a way that hopefully will deepen our understanding of the connection we have to Eretz Yisrael. First, an idea from Rav Moshe Sternbach. Rav Sternbach points to the fact that a Gemara a little bit later on in Maseches Sota, Bachem Chesem and Aleph, towards the end of the Masechta, makes the following statement. Heyid Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, one of the Tanoim, one of the rabbis who was alive during the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, gave the following testimony. Miyom shecharav Beis Hamikdash ein yom she'ein bo klala. From the time that the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, not a day has gone by without some curse, you know, mixed in the day. What exactly that means, hard to know. But in other words, you know, there isn't a day that goes by where there isn't something a little dismal about the day since the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. Velo yarad hatal livracha, since the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, the dew has never come down in the sense of bestowing blessing. Once upon a time, when the dew fell, it brought blessing with it. Now it doesn't anymore. The same talmud motto livracha, right? And finally, what's relevant to us, the nital tam haperos. And says Rabbi Yoshua, the good taste of fruit has been taken away. The fruit just isn't the same since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Right? And the Gemara goes on to say, the Mishnah goes on to say, Rabbi Yossi Omer Afnital Shuman HaPeiros. Rabbi Yossi says, the oil and the fat, so to speak, of the peiros, of the fruit, has also been taken away. A fruit, you can't get a good fruit, says the Mishnah, since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They just don't make fruit the way that they used to. What you see over here in this Mishnah, says Rav Sternbach, is that fruit, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, is not just fruit, but fruit and the taste of fruit is a barometer of the amount of spirituality that's out there in the world through the existence or lack thereof of the Beis Hamikdash. When the Beis Hamikdash exists, the fruit tastes better. When the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, that taste that the fruit had once upon a time is somehow lacking. So says Rav Sternbach, with that in mind, that's what we mean when we say the bracha, let us go up to Yerushalayim, uvnei Yerushalayim erakadosh meheir av yomeir, rebuild Yerushalayim, aleinu l'socha, bring us up to Yerushalayim, samcheinu bivinyana, gladden us in the building of Yerushalayim, and then v'nochal mipirya v'nisba mituva, and then when we do eat from the fruit, we'll be satiated, meaning we're davening that the tam haperos, the good taste of the fruit, be restored to the fruit, because, that, again, we're not just interested in a yummy pomegranate. What we're interested in is the way in which the fruit serves as a barometer of the existence of, you know, the restoration of God's glory to the Beis Hamikdash. So v'nochal mipirya v'nisba mituva is not just a physical request, it's ultimately we're asking for something spiritual. The restoring of the tam haperos, of the good taste of the fruit, is going to be a sign that the Beis Hamikdash is back. That's what Sternbach writes, that's what we have in mind when we say those particular four words. A second interpretation. And this is offered by the Brisker Rav, Rav Elvel Soloveitchik. Rav Elvel says, you know, the fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael oftentimes are not just fruits, but they can be kadosh, they can be holy. In what sense? So says the Brisker Rav, we know there's something called Maaseh Sheni, right? When fruits, one takes off a tithe, 10% of the fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael during certain years, and when the Beis Hamikdash stood, those fruits would be taken up to Yerushalayim and had to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. In other words, that there was a sacred obligation to eat this fruit, you know, in the environs, you know, the area right around the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Brisker Rav, when we say v'nochal mipirya v'nisba mituva, let us eat from its fruit, we're not just saying, well, you know, we're interested in having some olives or some pomegranates or, you know, whatnot. We want to have the schus, the merit of performing the mitzvah, maaseh sheni. So let us eat that sanctified fruit. And says the Brisker Rav, that's what we go on to say in the bracha as well, unevarechecha alel b'kedusha uftahara. We will bless you for this fruit in a state of kedusha, in a state of holiness, and a state of tahara, of purity. What's kedusha and tahara? A person had to be tahar when eating the maaseh sheni. Right? In other words, you couldn't eat it in a state of tumah. If a person was tumah, he had to go to the mikveh before eating ma'aser sheni. It was sanctified food. So he had to eat it b'kedusha. What's b'kedusha? In a holy place, in the environs of the, you know, in Yerushalayim, within the walls of the old city of Yerushalayim. That's kedusha. And he has to eat it in a personal state of tahara after having gone to the mikveh. We can add to that as well that Rashi already writes on Chumash that before eating from the Ma'aser Sheni, in addition to making the bracha, the regular bracha on fruit, you know, the bar pri ha'etz, there would be a special birkas ha-mitzvah, special bracha for the consumption of Ma'aser Sheni. Asher kid, baruch ato Hashem alokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu, lechol Ma'aser Sheni, right? So that could be what the line in our bracha is referring to as well. Univarechecha alel b'kdusha v'tahara, we will recite the brach, the special bracha, the consumption of Ma'aser Sheni, in Yerushalayim, a place of kedusha, and in a state of tahara, a state of personal purity. Right. So that's the Brisker Rav offers up a second interpretation of this line that's talking about Ma'aser Sheni specifically. Third
interpretation. They take them Ma'aseros.
Yeah, so what happens today?
They announce it like you go to the shuk.
Right. Right.
All of this is taken.
Right. But what happens today in Eretz Yisrael is that the Ma'aseros, or the Truma and Ma'aseros, are taken often and disposed of. Right. In other words, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, the Ma'aser Sheni was taken to Yerushalayim and actually consumed there. You'd eat it there. Nowadays, for various different reasons, you know, so we don't actually eat it. We can't be in a state of tahara, right? And when Ma'aser Sheni is taken off, the Ma'aser Sheni is actually redeemed onto a coin. There's a whole special system of what's called Keren HaMaisros in Eretz Yisrael, where you can, you know, redeem the kedusha of the Ma'aser Sheni onto a coin, and then the coin, after a certain point, has to be disposed of. Right, so but it's Ma'a Mikdash, you know, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, they would actually bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, you know, and eat it there. A third interpretation of this is a very fascinating Gemara in Maseches Yuma, which Rav Menashe Klein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the author of the Mishnah Halachos, offers as a possibility to explain once again this line in the Siddur. God tells us in Yuma Daf Lam Testament base as follows. Amar Azutra. Amar Azutra Bar Chuvya. Lama Nikro Shmo Ya'ar. Diksiv base Ya'ar Halevona. Right, the Beis HaMikdash is referred to in the Tanakh and Sefer Melachim as the Beis Yar HaLevonon, the house which is like a forest of Lebanon. Right? Why would the Beis HaMikdash be referred to as a forest? So Lomar Lecha, Mayar Milavlev, Ach Beis HaMikdash Milavlev, is to tell you, says the Gemara, that just as a forest produces fruit, Milavlev, it produces, you know, growths of various types. So too, the Beis HaMikdash produced fruits. And it goes on to tell us the following fascinating, fact. Domer Avoshia, Avoshia said, Bishar Shebara Shlomo Beis HaMikdash, Notabo Komine Migodim Shel Zahav. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted all different types of golden megadim. Megadim are fruits, you know, sweet fruits. He planted golden fruit trees. V'hayu motzien peiros bizmaneim. And miraculously, these golden fruit trees, which you wouldn't really expect to produce much in terms of the way in the way of fruit, miraculously, these golden fruit trees produced fruits in season. The kevon sheharuach min hasheves bohen hayu noshrin peirosehen, and when the wind would blow, you know, when the fruit was ripe, the ripened fruit would fall off of these trees right around the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar yirash kalavonon pirio umehen hoiso parnosu lekohuna, and the kohanim, who spent a lot of time at the Beis HaMikdash, fed themselves to a great extent from this fruit. No, the Beis HaMikdash had fruit, you know, growing growing all around it, which was beautiful, was succulent, it was luscious.
They call them golden.
What's that?
They look like gold.
So here, right, so here, here you have a dispute among the Mefarshim. We'll come to that in just a second. Right? The Kiva Shenechasu of the Kochavim Lahecho, when the idolaters came in to the Beis HaMikdosh, in other words, when the Babylonians came and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, Yavshu, right? These fruits dried up and didn't produce anything anymore. Ve'asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachazir olanu. But says the Gemara, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to restore not only the Beis HaMikdosh to us, but these trees with this luscious fruit which is going to be produced. The Marsha over here, the Marsha, again, one of the principal commentators on the Agados and Shas, writes that in his understanding what's being referred to are not actual fruit trees, but, you know, rather these were things that were decorative. They were gold, you know, and they had the appearance of fruit. It was miraculous that the fruits grew and whatnot, but we're not talking about actual, you know, real-life edible fruits. Menashe Klein, in his Sefer, Mishnah Halachos, takes issue with this Marsha. He says, if you read the whole Gemara, Gemara makes it sound like these are fruits which are edible. You know, they grew in the right season. They were, you know, consumed by the Kohanim. The Kohanim, you know, supported themselves with the, you know, made a living off of these fruits, and that the fruits dried up when, you know, the destroyers of the Beis HaMikdosh came into the Beis HaMikdosh. It sounds like we're talking about literal fruits. Aye, how do you understand that the Gemara's statement that these were Megadim Shalzal, these were golden fruit trees? One of two ways. Either it's a miracle, right? In other words, he made golden fruit trees, which seemed to be just decorative, but lo and behold, they actually produced real live fruit, right? It's a simple explanation of the Gemara. Or, you know, if one doesn't want to say like that, you say, okay, he planted beautiful, wonderful fruit trees that had the appearance, they sparkled like gold. But in any case, it sounds like from the Gemara, we're talking about actual fruit. You know, there was fruit that grew all around the Beis HaMikdosh and provided sustenance to the Kohanim. So says Rav Menashe Klein, just going back to our line in the Siddur, for that, perhaps that's what this controversial phrase happens to mean. Again, let's just go back and read the phrase in context. Uvnei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh Mehera V'Yomenu. Build up Yerushalayim, the holy city. Baleinu L'Socha. Right? Bring us into its midst in Yerushalayim. V'Samchenu B'Vinyana. Gladden us in its building. V'Nochal M'Piriya. And we will eat from its fruit. What fruit are we talking about? Not just stand the fruit in Yerushalayim, but this special fruit of the Beis HaMikdosh. The, you know, the ability to eat from the special fruit of the Beis HaMikdosh is not just simply, you know, a fulfillment of our physical desires, right? But it's a sign of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this special relationship with the Beis HaMikdosh, that he would cause the fruit to, you know, to grow in such a miraculous fashion, right? The fruit of the Beis HaMikdosh is symbolic of the blossoming of the Beis HaMikdosh itself. Finally, I want to share with you very beautiful, probably the oldest answer to this question of Rabbeinu Yonah, which is expressed by one of the classical commentators, the Bach of Yol Circus. Rabbi Yol Circus, in his commentary, Bayis Chodosh on the tour, says something which, if you closed your eyes, you think you're listening to some kind of Chassidus Torah, right? But it's not Chassidus Torah. The Bach comes, you know, years before the advent of Chassidus. But the way he expresses himself is, you know, very, very spiritual fashion. And this Bach in particular, I just want to focus on, because I think this Bach gives us a lot of context to be able to really observe and celebrate Tu Bishvat in a way which is very meaningful. Right, so the Bach again just quotes the question of the question posed by the Tur and Rabbeinu Yonah. How can you say v'nochal mipiryo v'nispa mituva? Let us go into Eretz Yisrael to eat from the fruit and to be satiated by its goodness. Isn't that overly physical? Isn't our desire for Eretz Yisrael wrapped up with the spiritual things Eretz Yisrael has to offer? Why are we getting so caught up with, you know, this whole discussion of fruit? Says the Bach as follows. Tema. I don't understand, says the Bach, what's bothering you so much. Halo kedushas ha'aretz hanishbas hanishpa'as bo mikedushas ha'aretz ha'elyona hinishpa'as gam v'peiroseho. First of all, you have to understand, says the Bach, where does Eretz Yisrael get its kedusha from? Why do we say that the land of Israel is holy? Where does that kedusha come from? Right. So says the Bach, ultimately, there's, so to speak, a conduit, a channel, that connects Eretz Yisrael down here to the source of Kedusha upstairs. However this works, we don't really understand it, right? But the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael clearly is coming from on high. That's what's investing the land with its Kedusha. And says the Bach, whatever instills the Kedusha in the land, in Eretz Yisrael itself, obviously has some kind of impact on the peros, on the fruit that grow in Eretz Yisrael. Because Kedusha, I mean, again, the best way to think of this is that the Kedusha is a tangible substance which is in the very earth of Eretz Yisrael. So if the very earth of Eretz Yisrael is invested with Kedusha, obviously that Kedusha is then going to come out in the fruits which are the product of the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha ha'aretz nishpa askam v'peiroseho shiyon ki mikdushas hashchina hashochenes bekerev ha'aretz. God's very presence itself dwells in Eretz Yisrael, and to the extent to which God's presence dwells in Eretz Yisrael, that impacts not only the land, but the fruit which grow from that land have somehow kedushas shchina within them. Again, obviously that doesn't mean you bite into a Jaffa orange and you can taste God, right? In other words, it doesn't mean it in that literal kind of sense. No, he's talking about all the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, right? Any fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael, to the extent to which it was growing from holy soil, there's a little bit of the Kedusha, of the sanctity of the Shechina itself, in those fruits. Ki al kein hisir v'omar, v'sof parshas maseh, v'lo sitame es ha'oretz asher atem yoshvim bo, asher ani shochein b'socho, ki ani Hashem shochein b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The notion that God's Shechina has a unique connection to Eretz Yisrael is already accentuated by the Chumash itself. The Chumash says at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, don't spill blood in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because beyond all the normal reasons that you're not supposed to spill blood, that you're not supposed to kill somebody anywhere, but the crime of murder is particularly heinous in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is tied up with the Kedusha Sashchina. God dwells in Eretz Yisrael, and the spilling of innocent blood will drive God's Shechina out from Eretz Yisrael. So as bad as murder is under normal circumstances, but it's especially bad in Eretz Yisrael because it severs the Kedushas Shechina from the land. The Omar, Im Titamu Es Ha'aretz, Nimshech Es Hatumo Gam B'Peiroseha, Hayon Kemimena. If you defile the land, so then, you know, think of this in environmental terms, in a sense. If you defile the land, so not only do you defile the land, you're going to defile the fruit as well. Right? If you dump waste in a certain area, so the fruit is going to grow badly. So Eretz Yisrael, you know, operates almost in an environmental fashion, but, you know, in a spiritual environmentalist fashion. You know, if you do Averos in Eretz Yisrael, it's like dumping waste products on the land, and the fruits are going to suffer as a result. Ukvar nistalko hashchino mikerev ha'aretz, asher ani shochein besocho mamish beguf ha'aretz, nistalko b'nei hatumo shetimeisem osa. When the Jewish people didn't behave properly in Eretz Yisrael, and the Shechina departed from Eretz Yisrael, the land was contaminated, and the fruit was contaminated as well. V'nimshach mizeh ki gam kein anochi mesalei shchinasi mitoch b'nei Yisrael ki ad ato heichal Hashem heima hayu b'nei Yisrael v'fish ha'shchina ha'yisa shorah b'kir b'mamash. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Shechina away from B'nei Yisrael, he's also taking it away from Eretz Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael are not behaving properly in Eretz Yisrael, the Peros themselves are contaminated, and the Jewish people who are in Eretz Yisrael, who eat the fruit, which is quote-unquote spiritually contaminated, will further contaminate themselves. Right? We can understand, based on everything I've explained, those four words, let us eat from its fruit, what is let us be satiated from the goodness of Eretz Yisrael. Ki ba'achilas peroseho anu nizonim mikdushas hashchino umitaharosa. Because when we eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael properly, it enables us to be satiated, to receive the kedusha of the Shechina itself, the sanctity of God's divine presence, and the very tahara, the very purity which is associated with God's presence. In other words, the Bach says an incredible idea: eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, imbibe some of the kedusha of the Shechina, which rests in those fruits. So let's put
an effect on us.
Right. In other words, you eat from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, you're eating a little bit, you're gaining a little bit of the kedusha of the Shechina. And again, obviously, he needs this up to a point. It doesn't mean that you'll have godlike powers after you just eat from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, right? It doesn't mean that you're chalila eating God or anything of that nature, right? It means that there's a certain that a person will be able to experience the Shechina more directly by eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That these are spiritual fruits. These are, you know, to borrow a term from a very different culture, this is soul food. Right, in the simple sense of the term, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is invested with the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which in turn is invested with the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is to open up your heart to be able to experience the kedusha of the Shechina in a more direct fashion.
Even now when we don't have
the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if you take this Bach, again, it sounds like a Chassidus HaTorah, you know, eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, feel connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, you feel like singing a niggun afterwards, you know, and getting all aroused, you know, but it's a Bach. I mean, the Bach was, very, very, very level-headed, sober commentator on the tour. And this is how he learns Pshat, you know, and that's what we're saying in the Bracha. Let us go to Eretz Yisrael, the Nochal Mipiria, the Nisba Mituva. Let us eat from the fruit. We don't want to eat from the fruit just because we like fruit. We want to eat from the fruit because eating from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael invests you with holiness, invests you with a sense of the Kedusha Sashchina, invests you with whatever it is, the Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael possesses because it got it directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So much the same way that we saw before, the Brisker Rav says, this is not just about eating stam fruit, this is about eating Maaser Sheni, that has a certain Kedusha in it. The Bach actually goes a step further than that. The Bach says, well, it's not just Maaser Sheni that has a certain Kedusha associated with it. Any fruit from Eretz Yisrael is invested with a certain spirituality, a certain ability to bring you closer to the Shechina, a certain ability to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you eat any fruit from Eretz Yisrael, you will be able to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu that much more. So it's totally in line, it's totally appropriate to daven, let us go to Eretz Yisrael and eat from its fruit, right, and be satiated from its goodness. We don't mean satiated from its goodness, ah, wow, you know, now I'm full, I don't have to order anymore. No, let us be satiated from its goodness in a spiritual sense. That the fruit is actually going to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very real fashion. And then the end of the phrase, and let us bless you for this fruit in a state of holiness and purity, means not that we need holiness and purity in order to eat the fruit, the way the Brisker Rav explained, but rather the fruit will bestow upon us Right. So let me talk about that in just a minute. The fruit will bestow upon us kedusha and tahara, sanctity and purity, we can achieve certain levels of sanctity and purity just by virtue of eating this fruit. Right? If you take this and you connect it to what we learned before from the Gemara and Sota, it actually comes together very, very nicely. The Gemara, the Mishnah and Sota had said that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, batal tam ha-peiros, that fruits didn't taste quite the same anymore. So you say, who cares? Alright, so you know, used to be the olives, oh, they were incredible. Now, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the olives just aren't as good as they used to be. Who cares? I mean, that's the biggest impact of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're crying over. You know, the fruit doesn't taste quite as good since the good old days of the Beis HaMikdash stood. You put this Bach together with the Mishnah and Sota, and you understand what the Mishnah and Sota is telling us. The fruit, the taste in the fruit tasted good because of the incredible Kedusha which seeped through from the Beis HaMikdash into the land, into the fruits. When you ate the fruits in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you were tasting Kedusha. That's why the fruits tasted so good. Now, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, what the Bach writes is true, meaning there's still a tremendous amount of Kedusha in the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, right? We still taste, so to speak, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and of the Shechina in the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, but less so. Not to the same extent as when the Beis HaMikdash stood.
Is that all true if we eat the fruit in Chutz La'aretz?
Chora, yeah. Because in other words, I think about it from a botanical point of view, right? In other words, the fruit picks up the nutrients that were in the soil that it was nurtured in. So even if you eat the fruit somewhere else, it's still going to have the nutrients in that particular soil. So by eating the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, even in Chutz La'aretz, we're tasting the Kedushas HaShechina. That was certainly true when the Beis HaMikdash stood, but even nowadays we get a little bit of a glimpse of what that Kedusha is all about, you know, by tasting these peiros. Right? So you put all of this together and you begin to understand the minug, again, which goes back a couple of hundred years, to eat from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael and Tu B'Shvat. This is not just a nice way of kindly reminding ourselves about Eretz Yisrael and its specialness. Fruit grown in Eretz Yisrael, literally, according to the Bach, has Kedushas Shechina in it, right? And when we eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, we're connecting in a very real way to that Kedushas Shechina. Right?
They say in some part, by the Kotel, the Shechina never moved away.
Right.
So there is, even today, without the Beis HaMikdash, but the Kotel, this holy place.
Right, so we should mention over here, there's a comment the Ar Chaim has in his commentary on Chumash, I think it's in Parshas Vayigash. The Ar Chaim points out that the term Shechina, you know, God's divine presence, is a very slippery one. There are different rungs and different levels of the Shechina, meaning obviously God is one, but the degree to which we appreciate or feel the presence of God varies, you know, from place to place and from time to time. And we talk about the Shechina is here, the Shechina isn't here. Says the Ar Chaim, Shechina means different things in different contexts. So in other words, the Shechina is still in the Makom HaMikdash, right? The Rambam famously writes that the whole Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is based on the Kedusha of the Shechina, and the Shechina never departs, right? And yet at the same time, we believe that the Shechina left Eretz Yisrael together with the Jewish people. So, you know, how can you have it both ways? The Shechina is still in Yerushalayim, the Shechina is still in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet the Shechina left Eretz Yisrael together with the Jewish people. Right? So the Ar Chaim says, the Shechina and the Shechina, you know, the full-fledged manifestation of God's presence isn't quite there anymore. But, you know, God's presence is still in the place of where the Mikdash stood, so to speak, on a low burner. The burner's on a low flame. The Shechina is still there to an extent, but obviously once the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, so the Shechina is going to be there in a much fuller sense than it is currently.
So the Nochal Nikiriyah doesn't mean that we want to go to Israel because we love the fruit. Because
it's special. Right. Exactly. So that's the Bach says, no, this is a beautiful phrase to say. V'nochal mipiryav v'nistam intuva. right? Let us eat from the fruit and be satiated from its goodness. That's a spiritual request. It's not just a physical request. I would like to go and,
Rabbi Yonah didn't know this.
Okay, so Rabbi Yonah was just explaining it in a simple sense, right? But that's the Bach is coming along and saying there's more, you know, there's more to this.
Does anybody ever agree in the Gemara?
Well, there's a difference of opinion about that.
I don't know which one is to
it. Okay, but that's the beauty of learning, you know, that everybody has a different perspective, and ultimately, you know, from all the perspectives, everything comes together. I just want to share one more thought, you know, in terms of brachas. So, of course, you know, we know that the halacha is that the bracha of, you know, al ha'etz, the al pri ha'etz, is only recited, you know, after the five types of fruits that are associated with Eretz Yisrael. Again, we mentioned them before, you know, grapes, dates, figs, pomegranates, and olives, right? If one has other fruits, even fruits that come from Eretz Yisrael, Jaffa oranges, you know, or the like, so then we know that the bracha which is recited after those fruits is the bari nefashos, right? Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, bari nefashos rabos v'chesronon, God creates many different souls and their needs. God has created, you know, we thank you for everything that you've created to sustain the life of every living thing. Blessed is God who is the life of all of the worlds. It's a bracha which we say all the time. I mean, it's a bracha recited after shahakols and ho'adamas and most of the time after ho'es as well. What exactly does that bracha mean? Right, so I just want to share tonight briefly two interpretations as to what that bracha means. Again, it's a bracha that we're saying all the time, and on Tu B'Shvat we'll be saying it quite a bit as well. Just want to share, just very, very briefly, two interpretations of that bracha. Charuvim, right? So you got also say Bari Nefashos. Assuming you can get the whole thing down, you'd also say a bar nefashos after the boxer is done. Right, so, yeah.
Let's say you're eating medium on Wednesday or something. It has to be fruits from Eretz Yisrael, right? It's not good enough to have, like, a date that's grown in America.
Right, so especially according to this idea from the Bach that we saw, you know, the whole... You know, the whole, again, the Bach isn't speaking about Tu B'Shvat specifically, he's just talking about the incredible power that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael possess generally, but, you know, especially for Tu B'Shvat, to connect, you know, to the idea of Eretz Yisrael, it's not just to have a fruit grown in Eretz Yisrael, but ideally to have a fruit, you know, not just to have the type of fruit which is grown in Eretz Yisrael, but ideally to have a fruit which actually comes from Eretz Yisrael itself. What does Bar Nefashos mean? So, Tosus and Brachos, that is quoted by the Tur, gives the following explanation. When a person says Bari Nefashos, he's actually thanking God for two different types of foods. Necessities and luxuries. Right? So, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Bari Nefashos Rabos, God, you create many people, v'chesronon, and their essential needs. Chesronon literally means those things which we are lacking. Right? It's a very funny term. But the way the Torah explains it is that God, you create human beings and they have certain essential needs that, you know, that need to be fulfilled. We need, you know, basic, we need bread, we need water, you know, we need certain basics, I don't know, proteins, you know, whatnot, in order to continue living. That's the first day after the bracha. But al kol ma shibarasa l'achayos b'mnefesh kochay, you know, we thank you as well for everything that you, God, have created to sustain life. Say the Bali Tosus and the Torah, that means luxuries. Right? Things which are not essential foods, but things which are sweet, taste good, and are enjoyable. And, you know, but the truth is we could really live without them. So I just want to give you an example of how much, you know, how times change over time. If you were to ask the average person today, you know, what does that mean? What are luxury items that you don't have to eat, but are just sweet? So, yeah, people tell you candy, you know, chocolates, things like that. Tosfos writes apples. Tapuchim. You know, because apples are the kind of food, you know, you don't really need apples. They're sweet, they're good, they taste good. You know, it just shows you how far, I don't know how far we've come, how far we've fallen. You know, in other words, you know, to the Bali Taisis, you know, living in Germany in the Middle Ages, their idea of a luxury item was an apple.
Maybe.
Well, he happens to say tapuchim. Tapuchim is probably a generic term for fruit, because remember, in Europe, they didn't have a lot of fruit, you know. They for sure didn't have oranges, right. Right, but I'm saying tapuchim was probably fruit, you know, because they just didn't have a lot of fruits, they didn't have a lot of berries. So Taisis says, you know, an example of something that, you know, is a luxury item that you don't really need. You know, it's a sweet, it's a delicacy, it's an apple, you know. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, okay, apple, you know. Well, it's kind of basic. That's basic, you know. Candy, you know, that's a different thing. But, so that's the simple, times change, right? That's the simple pshat, that's the simple explanation of the bracha, you know, that when we say a bar nefashos, we have to acknowledge that, you know, God is really very benevolent. God could have set us up on a diet of bread and water, you know, and, you know, the K-rations, you know, that they would give out there in the army. You know, God could have set up on a diet of that, you know, and just, you know, life would have been boring and dull, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind enough to us not only to give us the basic foods that we need, but to give us all these you know, extras, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws in. There's another pshat which I want to share with you, which also just, it's worthwhile to think about. It makes you think about the bracha bar nefashos in an unusual fashion. You know, it's striking that the bracha doesn't speak of God creating people, right? Borei anoshim rabim, right? Or borei bnei adam. But God creates nefashos rabos, many souls. Very striking terminology. Why talk about God creating many, many souls? So, it's quoted from the Kisvei Ari, the Ari of Yitzhak Gluria, one of the great Kabbalists, is quoted as saying as follows. God created many nefashos, many souls, and again, the Ari was a proponent, as the Kabbalists were, of the idea of Gilgulim, the idea of reincarnation. And many of these nefashos, many of these souls that God created, need a tikkun. They're lacking something, and these souls have to come back into the world repeatedly in order to somehow rectify things that were missing in one life. They have to keep coming back and back and back again in order to rectify those things which are missing. So God created many nefashos, many souls, v'chesronon, and those things which they are lacking. He created the nefashos in such a way that they wouldn't be able to achieve shlemus, perfection, on the first round. He created the nefashos, the souls, in such a way that they're lacking, and they have to come back over and over and over again in order to rectify that which is missing. Al kol ma shebara l'achayos bohem nefesh kol choy, but God created many things in order to sustain these souls of all life. What does that mean? So the Aris quotes the following Kabbalistic concept. Some people's souls come back in the form of different foods. And by reciting the brachos over foods, one has the ability to be ma'ala, to bring up those nefashos, those neshamos, those souls, that are associated with these particular foods. So, borei nefashos rabos v'chesronam, God creates many souls, and the need to rectify those souls. Al kol ma shebara l'hachayos bohem nefesh kol choy. But God created the wherewithal to recite brachos over foods, and thus rectify these neshamos. The concept which really grows out of Hasidus, of having a tikkun, you know, of having people recite brachos on the occasion of a yard site, in order to raise the soul up, that somehow the brachos we recite over food has a beneficial impact on a person's neshama, right, goes back in part to this concept, right? The way al kol ma shebara l'hachayos bohem nefesh kol choy, God created many foods l'hachayos bohem nefesh kol choy, to revive through these foods the souls of all living things. Making a bracha over foods can somehow impact positively on these neshamos which need a tikkun. That idea, says the Ari, is what you're talking about when you say bar nefashos. Whoa. That's not what it says in the article, Siddur. That certainly it's on a deeper level than the simple pshat. But
that's why the Hasidim give the kiddush when they have
the whole idea of the kiddush of a tikkun, you know, that. But I mean, be that as it may, we don't pretend. I certainly don't pretend to scratch the surface of understanding what the Ari is talking about. But one thing which we do take away from what he's talking about is that brachos are incredibly effective, not just for those of us who are making brachos, but brachos have the ability to have a powerful impact on nefashos. On neshamos, on those who have already departed. Al kol ma shebara la'achayos v'anefesh kochay. God created the wherewithal to make brachos in order to elevate the souls of those who have departed. Next time you bite into an apple, whether the, you know, or any fruit for that matter, not only are you forgetting, you know, besides the issue of the fruit coming from Eretz Yisrael or whatnot, next time you make a bracha, right, realize that that bracha is important, not just in terms of your own enjoyment of the apple, but the bracha has the ability to impact on those who are long gone as well, and that neshamas can be rectified through these very brachas which we're making. Okay, I want to wish everybody a happy Tu B'Shvat, and hopefully the fruit should be enjoyable, and the brachas that we recite while eating the fruit should also be enjoyable and should lead to a spiritual elevation.